We started now 3 weeks ago a new study series on Sunday mornings on the Ten Commandments. And it's pretty interesting to take a step back in time and look at something that we certainly take for granted. There's no doubt about that. I grew up in a church family where the Ten Commandments were displayed prominently on a wall in our lobby. I'm not sure anybody paid any attention to them, but they were displayed there. There's no doubt about it. Most all of us here have grown up in a country that, if not openly, certainly as an undercurrent of our life together as a culture, the Ten Commandments have been established here. The Ten Commandments are fascinating to me because the first three that we've looked at, religious people are okay with the first three. There is no doubt about it. They're common sense. Have no other gods. You know, don't make any images, you know, that you can carry around in your back pocket or put up somewhere. And then last week we looked at don't take the name of God in vain. And you know, we're okay with those. And honestly, whether you're a church person or not, most everybody else is okay with the other ones. You know, we honor your father and mother. I mean, every parent loves that one. Okay, don't murder. You know that we're good with that. Don't steal. We're good with that. Those kinds of rules, those kinds of civil interactions are the bedrocks of civilized societies. Whether they pay homage to the original Ten Commandments or not, it's just kind of part of what civilized people do. You know, don't take my stuff. Okay? I mean, we get it. But all week long, I've been fascinated. What are we going to do with number four? Okay, now you may not, right off the top of your head, know what number four is, but I'm telling you, number four just kind of floats around out there in oblivion. Okay, it depending on who you are and where you come from, you may have a perspective on number four, but there is no doubt that we just sweep it under the carpet. It's just kind of gone. So what does it mean to us? And I hope some of you are going, you know, I forget what number four is. Okay, let me remind you of it. Okay, if you have your Bible, you can open up to it or you can look up here. This is number four. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Okay, we can collectively breathe out right now. Oh, yeah. That one. Okay? The tablets that Moses carried down from the mountain had 10 of them on them. We've known from previous studies that the 10 laws or the 10 commands were merely a kind of a general overview of the heart of the total 613 laws that the Israelites lived by. The tablets were delivered to the Jews after they had spent a few hundred years in slavery. And I guess I should remind us about this, that those hundreds of years of slavery did not include a day off. They were slaves every day. That was just part of who they were. To the original hearers of the Ten Commandments, the Jews who were under Moses' leadership, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy was absolute law. It was not to be messed with in any way at all. They were to keep the seventh day holy. Rest. No work. It's fascinating. We don't have time today to look historically at what the Pharisees, the Jewish teachers did throughout history to make this one law, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, turned into books and books and books and books of ways that you could keep it holy and ways that you could break the law. You know, by how far you walked or how many steps you took or whatever. It's fascinating. But the heart of the law was from sundown on Friday evening to sundown on Saturday evening. You don't do anything except concentrate on God. That's what that was their law. For this 24-hour period, just focus your attention on the holiness of God one day a week. It came from the Genesis account. This wasn't something that just sort of came to them out of the blue. In the creation account in Genesis chapter 2, this is what we have read hundreds of times. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. Sabbath, that word. It's not a word that we use in our vocabulary. In the Hebrew language, it's the word Shabbat. It means seven. It also means rest. Okay, the word itself, this Sabbath thingy that they were to do, okay, it had to do with a particular day and a particular way of living on that day. And what's interesting is that, okay, there isn't anybody here, I hope, that thinks that after 6 days of creating, God was tired. Okay? You know, I don't know where you come from, and I don't know what your heritage is, and I don't know what kind of church upbringing you have, and what the creation account looks like in your mind, in my mind growing up in Sunday school with flannel boards and dear-hearted teachers. My mind went wild on what creation must have looked like. And so by the time I was in high school, I had painted a story of creation that was as wild as anything that could ever be made by Hollywood, you know, and how it went. We don't know. It's all kind of compressed into a page or two in the Bible of what it looked like. But I'm going to tell you this. However it went down, however creation went down, I am confident of the fact that God wasn't tired. Okay, he didn't establish a day at the end of the 6 days and go, I got to put my feet up. I mean, this whole creation stuff is exhausting. Now, God stopped after 6 days because He was finished. Okay? He didn't stop because He was tired. He stopped because He was finished. Sabbath, from everything that I have read, and there are people that know this way better than I do, and I just, my head, just for the record, feels like it wants to explode at the end of this. I'm done reading. I am done studying Hebrew history. I just am for a week or so. Sabbath was not so much about keeping a special day. That was not the heart of this. It was about keeping the worship of God central. And there's a huge difference. And every one of us in here know this, because we have been brought up in our culture to make a day special. Make a day special, and we can run right past God on that one day. And this was, on its simplest level, it was God understanding His creation, understanding His people, and knowing that they would need help in these things. And so they established a day. And remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy has always been an absolute essential to the life and rhythms of the Jewish community. Always. And it still is today. absolutely essential. But even with its essence, the weekly Sabbath was never the end goal. It was always to be a picture of the real thing. It's kind of how God does things. It's amazing to me. In Hebrews chapter 10, hundreds of years later, maybe thousands of years later, the author of the book of Hebrews wrote these words. It says, the law, and he's kind of speaking of all the laws here, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. So I think I can confidently stand here and say to you that the Sabbath, for all of its substantial meaning, was still a picture or a shadow of the even greater things that were going to come at some other point. That's how we always look at the things that happen in the Old Testament. They are just glimpses of the greater that is going to happen someday. Paul wrote about it in a more profound way in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I don't think I have the verses up there. It's 2, I think verses 8 to 10. He's writing this to Colossian Christians and he says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. There was something uniquely profound about who Jesus was and is that makes all of these pictures in the Old Testament, all of these stories in the Old Testament, all of the laws in the Old Testament, we can look at them and go, that's why Jesus makes it all make sense. The stories make sense. The actions of God make sense. The laws make sense. The rules make sense. And they only make sense when we are able to see Jesus for who He is. That's what this is about. I happen to believe, and there is some disparity among theologians. Okay, you know, there's some differences of opinion that Christians have. There's a lot of those differences of opinion, and so we're kind of breaking off into a little bit of opinion here right now, and so you'll have to deal with it. But my understanding when I read this is that the weekly Sabbath law, of keeping the Sabbath holy, actually ended at the cross. It was actually a new era was ushered in when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Now, it doesn't mean that the Sabbath law lacks substance and meaning. It just means it's no longer a law for those of us who follow Jesus. For Jews, the Sabbath has always been Saturday. It's really Friday night through Sunday, Saturday evening. Sunday, our day, you know, our day, is not and has never been a new Sabbath for Christians. Never. Though in the history of our country, and some of you who are, I'm moving again and it's doing that sound. Oh well. In the history of our country, and you who are raised going to church and you are encroaching on old, you would remember this. My parents would look at me at times and go, it's Sunday. Can't do that. is kind of similar to, you can't run in the church building. That's God's house. And I look at it and go, there's a clear path. I mean, what do you mean I can't run? Okay? The whole Sunday thing was part of the history of our country. And it has, I think, for most of history, it has always been talked about or looked at or seen as the day of rest for church people. Oh, that is so not true. Most church people are so exhausted with church by the end of Sundays, there is no rest to be found. Okay? There is not a person in this room. Ah, there's a few of you. I know there are. But there are very few in this room who woke up and went, yes, I get to get up early on a Sunday and go to church. Especially after you have worked 6 full days this week and you have children. Okay? This idea of Sunday being the day of rest, it was a wonderful idea some years ago, but it is not so much anymore. Sunday is the first day of the week. Historically, we have always referred to Sunday as the Lord's Day, at least after His death and resurrection, because it was symbolic. Sunday is symbolic of the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and early Christians gravitated to that day as a day of celebration, a day of remembrance, a day of communion, a day, all of these things that we do on this day. There's nothing wrong with this day. And really, except for some groups, and some of you have friends, some of you have been around, you've heard of Seventh-day Adventists and Seventh-day Baptists, and I assume every denomination has their own fringe group of Seventh Days, and who continue to meet on Saturdays. Except for some of those Seventh-day groups, Christians stopped observing the Sabbath because it ended when Jesus died and rose again. Historically, that's to me how it happened. So what's the Sabbath for? Why is this law, why does it still matter? Why can we read it and go, well, it's still there. How does it apply to us? I'm going to go out on a limb today. And give you at least my thought on this. And there's way more to what could be said about this today than our 25 minutes. But there's enough here. I want to go back to Hebrews, because this is where, at least for me, my understanding of currently our understanding of the Sabbath comes from. Hebrews chapter 4. The author writes, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." Wow. There's a lot there. There's a lot that is incredibly significant. But the Bible says that there is a Sabbath that still remains for God's people. A place where we cease from our own labor and effort and enter into a rest that belongs to God, that He wants to give to us. It's a place of total dependence where God provides everything that we need. I just want you to pause for a moment and think, well, wouldn't that be a nice place to arrive at? Instead of all of this work that we do all the time, trying to convince God we are good enough for anything. Jesus actually echoed those same words. Actually, he stated them the first time. Author of Hebrews echoed them. But Jesus said it this way in Matthew. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I have got to speak to you personally, kind of friend to friend today. Here's the reality. Now, I'm not talking to anybody absolutely personally, but boy, if the shoe fits today, you just slide it right on. Tired, overworked, overwhelmed, frustrated, busy, chaotic, behind on deadlines, incomplete tasks, to-do lists, running late, running on empty, drained, dry. You're going to go on? I have great command of the English language on this topic. Okay? I just identified the majority of us today. This is really funny. I just need to tell you, right when I said that, I saw like 10 people trying to hold in yawns. Right when I was saying that. That was really funny. Should have been here. To be honest, we mostly run ahead or behind God. The pace that virtually all of us run no longer has time for quiet, for reflection, for hearing from God, or honoring Him as holy. We can collectively, in this moment, we can all hang our heads in shame if we wanted to. But the truth is, it's what we've become. Maybe we are each personally to blame, certainly on one hand, but collectively we are to blame. Culturally we are to blame of what has happened to us. We ran past Sabbath. We just ran right past it somewhere. Some of us had the advantage of having our parents teach us about Sunday as the day of rest, and we pretty much threw that one out the window. And now we just know that it is an additional day for our sports teams to play, so we can run our kids from one side of the Metroplex to the other. It's just another day to do that. And so we try to squeeze in. Look, I just talked about myself, by the way, in case you thought I was throwing a dart at you. That was my life. We run past the whole concept of Sabbath. And Sabbath has lost its influence in our lives. And because we are generally running ahead of God or behind God, we are seldom arm in arm with God in the things that we do. Rest. This Sabbath rest. I'm not talking about a nap in front of the television today at halftime. Okay? I'm talking about something that is deeper and more profound than that. Sabbath rest is the secret to faithfulness, to life, to obedience, to purpose. I mean, we can sit here and go, God had something going on, and He dreamed this one up. There's some of the other laws in the Old Testament I don't get. Okay? I get this one. I don't necessarily do this one well, but I get this one. Because Sabbath is the only path to wholeness and to becoming who and what God designed us to be. I am convinced of that. Sabbath rest, the concept, it is where we meet God. Sabbath rest is where we have to relinquish control and let God be in control of things. That cannot happen until we stop being in control. And we look at our lives, we go, God, take control of my life, please. And then we just gobble it all back up. Sabbath is where I'm able to breathe. And not just breathe air, but to breathe in His presence. What an incredible song we sang at the beginning of this service. Sabbath is that place where I can reconnect to my power source after running on empty for days at a time. And what's interesting is that this group of people here, I can't speak for others, but this group of people, we're pretty skilled at running on empty. We know how to suck it up, you know, for the goal and get things done when they have to be done. We know how to do that. We don't know how to Sabbath rest. It's a foreign concept. Sabbath rest is where I slow down and I stop doing. It's where I am quiet and I listen to God. It's where I reflect and I gain perspective on who I am and who God is and how we partner together through this short time that we get to live. Sabbath rest, I am convinced, is where I experience the fullness of forgiveness and acceptance from the love of God, when I can stop and I can soak in the greatness of who God is and what He has done. Because you just can't get that on a fast food diet of spirituality. It doesn't happen. Now, I realize I am the bearer of bad news today. I get it. But I wanted you to have it as you went out today. Do you need Sabbath? Yes, I do. Do you need a whole day every week? Maybe. I'm not throwing that one out altogether. Maybe there ought to be somebody in this group that dares again to stand up and go, look at what happened in my life since I've taken a Sabbath. I can say this, all of us desperately need Sabbath rest. And the response that says, well, I just can't make the time, is simply not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And I know it's hard, and I know that it will be so easy to walk out of here today with your tail between your legs and feeling guilty and all that other stuff that happens. Don't do that. To remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The word holy doesn't mean spiritual. The word holy means set apart. Special. And I want to say that an hour on Sunday mornings does not cut it for any of us when it comes to being lockstep with the Creator. It cannot be done this way. If you desire to walk in the presence of God, you have got to carve out something more substantial. There's no easy way of saying it. So don't be so quick to throw out the Sabbath. Don't be so quick to go, it's just an outdated Jewish practice. It is not. The heart and the wisdom of the command is as true today as it was when Moses carried it down on stone tablets. The wisdom of God was good for them. The wisdom of God is good for you and me. The Sabbath may no longer be a special day, but it is a mindset. It's a practice that must be entered into, and it probably is going to look different for every person who is here. But it has to be intentional. That walking with God has to be intentional. You don't just wander into it by accident. God has provided a way into His presence. I think He's provided multiple ways, but one of the ways that is most clearly established is Sabbath. It is the rest that is found when we cease from our labor and enter into it. I guess I've come to the conclusion there really is no other way. As the band comes up, I want you to look at this verse that is on the screen. John wrote this in 1 John 5:3. Let the words sink in. This is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. We don't get to just go, I like that command, I'm not real hot on that one, and that one definitely won't work in my schedule. Okay, we don't get to do that. His commands are not burdensome. The way we live our life is burdensome. God has provided a way into His presence.